And I'm just really thankful to see that. But it's the beginning, not only for a lot of what God's going to do amongst in the church world, but I think for the pastors. And I've told you that story just a little bit. So you keep prayer going for that area. Will you do that? Good, good, good. I'd like to pray this morning over the word and asking God to anoint. And so if you would join me with just bowing your heart before God. Lord, I'm grateful this morning for the word of the Lord. I thank you that you are so faithful to us. I ask that, Lord, that it would now touch our hearts. Lord, the way that I see it and the way that I believe it needs to be spoken, I pray that it would be done. I'm asking now for anointing on the word and upon the message, anointing in this house in a powerful sense. Lord God, I've been here long enough in church world, and Lord, I don't like everything we do in the church world, and I'm asking for you to show up here now and do powerful things in our lives. I know a lot of things we do are necessary, of course, but God, I'm just praying that you touch our hearts. We are eternal. God, our lives, we are hungry for more of God, and I pray that that would be in our life. So, Lord, not so much that we have a portfolio this morning. What we ask is that you would come and just stretch into this room with your presence and fill every fiber of our hearts and lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. And if you agree, would you say amen?
Amen.
All right, thanks. Praise God. So, would you join me and turn with me to Luke chapter 5? I'd like to let this be a base of where I'm going to go. I think I told you this, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 months ago. I told you that there were some things that I wanted to revisit. Things that I have preached before, things that I've spoken to you, things I've said to you, and I'd like to revisit. You know, from a pastor's point of view, we're really tempted, and we're also put in a place where I think we have to feel like constantly we have to have something so new and vibrant and something so so different that you've ever heard before. And if we don't, it's almost like we have failed. I don't really know where that's come from. I've grown up in my ministry always knowing that we probably need to do things that nobody's ever seen or heard, and that's what makes everybody like pastors. It's interesting to me that God put Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Gospels. It was almost like the Lord was saying, all right, I'm going to have 4 Gospels, so if I can do it, you can do something more than once. And I'm thinking, well, that's a good idea. And so this morning, I want to tell you that what I have on my heart, I'm going to revisit an area. I don't write all of these down, so I don't know. But I want to revisit an area that's on my heart. Second thing I want to tell you is I don't want you now to tune me off because you think you've heard it all. I know most of your names, so I can call you out and ask you to wake up. All right? I'm just teasing. So stay with me. You can do that, can't you? Years ago, I had read a story of a little boy. And he was sitting, you got to picture this in the 1800s. The roads are dirt, and the horses are going by, and all the carts and different wagons. So the little boy is sitting in front of the hardware store and grocery store and the mart there for the city. And as he's sitting there in the front, he began to realize that barrel that's right behind him, that was a very important barrel. And on the side of it, it said molasses. And so the owner of the store would always take, and they would take the molasses out, and they would put it in another container, and they would sell it by weight, and they'd sell it to the townspeople. Anybody here ever taste molasses? Do you like molasses? Anyway, so the little boy is sitting there, And he decided, I think what I need to do is I need to check this out. So he took his hand and his arm and he reaches up and over, and the barrel is absolutely full. And he takes and reaches over and he puts his little finger about like this, and he pulls out molasses, and it's on his finger dripping down his hand. And he puts his whole thing in his mouth, and he just begins at that point to just lick and lick and lick. It's a good thing. I don't know how what he'd been doing with his finger lately, but nevertheless. So he's licking his finger, the molasses from the last molasses barrel. Pretty amazing. So as time went on, in the next several days, the molasses barrel went down and down and down and down. Of course, he was afraid to look in the molasses barrel because he knew that the store owner would always be making eye contact towards the molasses barrel, because that kid out there is going to put his finger back in that barrel. He didn't want that to happen. So he's just sitting there and he's thinking, what am I going to do? So finally, he realizes that the store manager to the grocery store there, he had gone in the back. He could tell he'd gone in the back. So he reached up to that big molasses barrel, and he stepped up a little higher. Then he's on the chair, and he pulls the lid back, and he expects for the molasses to be about 2 or 3 inches, and he takes his finger, and he puts it in, and there's nothing there. And all of a sudden, he realizes that I'm losing my grip, and he begins to move around, and his finger is going deeper and deeper. And what had happened was the molasses was down about 8 inches from the bottom. And the little boy, as he is beginning to fall, he says, oh, he says, Lord, I'm needing your help. All I can ask is that you will make my tongue equivalent to the opportunity that you're about to give me. And so he plunges into the molasses, and he says, Lord, make my tongue worthy of this and help me out to take care of this whole problem. So I think that's where I'm at this morning. I say, Lord, make my tongue worthy of this. Help my tongue somehow to be able to take this opportunity for the glory of God.
Amen.
Amen. Chapter 5 of Luke. There's no doubt in my mind that you have read this, because reading the scripture, as many of you do, you have probably read this at least several times a year. It's an interesting passage, verse 17, and it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which came out of every town. Make note of that. They came out of every town of Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Before I read any more, I'd like to just set this in motion. Did they know the presence and the power of God was there to heal? I kind of doubt it. But do you think there was anybody there that maybe knew that the power and the presence of God was there to heal? Do you think there was anyone else there?
Yeah. Yeah.
It would be my opinion that that would be Jesus. So let me read verse 17 again. And it came to pass on a certain day. I love that, because God knows certain days. He was teaching, and there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which came out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Please don't give me this morning, that the power of healing, it's no longer in our day. It quit when Jesus quit and went back to heaven. I don't believe that for 1 minute. I don't believe it. There is the gift of healing. There's the laying on of hands and healing. God is a powerful working God this morning, is he not?
Yes.
Then it says in 18, and behold, men brought a bed which had been taken, a man which had been taken with palsy, and they sought a means to bring him in and to lay him before Jesus. Verse 19. And when they could not find by what way that they might bring him in, because of the multitude, they went up upon the housetop, and they let him down through the tiling with his couch. Now notice this, into the midst of Jesus. It's just the only, this is how I think, is that when that thatch is being pulled back and the tile, and everyone is looking, I think Jesus did too. I don't think that they did it way over in the kitchen area or way over in the back bedroom. I think they did it as close to Jesus as they could lower that guy down. And can you imagine that guy coming down? This is how I want to think. And they put him right in front of Jesus. I mean, it's almost like maybe they knew something. And I'd like to suggest this morning, church, that is what is really, as far as our mentality, I think that's what we should be realizing this morning, is that anything and everything that we do has to be near Jesus, close to Him as we can gather. I think there's a time in our life in the church world that even though the church began at Jerusalem and it matured and was found in Rome, it did not stop in Rome. It continued to go to the then known parts of the entire earth. And it's because we realize who Jesus is and what He can do in this life. It is amazing to me. Go on, it says, and they laid him, verse 8:19 at the end, it says they laid him in the midst before Jesus, verse 20. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, your sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, Who is this that speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sin but God alone? But when Jesus perceived that their thought of their thoughts, he answering said to them, What do you reason in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or to rise up and walk? 24. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power upon earth to forgive sin. He said to the sick of the palsy, I say to you, arise and take up your couch and go into your house. And immediately, say immediately. This morning, I just feel this was what God, a sense that God wanted me to go here. And even though I told you this some time ago, I don't know how many years past it was that I had shared along this. But I want to talk to you this morning because I really believe that God is a powerful God. And I want to suggest to you that in chapter 5 of Luke, that what you have just read with me and followed, that we are discovering how normal God really is. And I just wonder if in the church we have the same normalcy as God. I began to think about how normal God really can be in our lives and what He can do in our lives. And I think sometimes we don't look at it as this is a normal thing. Is it really a normal thing to heal? Is it really a normal thing to see someone really set free or to be saved and born again? Is it really a real and normal thing? See, I think we should see things different from the world. And the world that sat there that afternoon, they had come from all over the country as far as they could walk, they came from. And they sat there and not one of them had any idea that the power of God was in that place to be able to heal. Except Jesus. And I believe that as a church this morning that we have to start coming somehow into this place of understanding that God wants to do what He wants to do. Amen. And He wants us to follow what He has put as the regs or regulations of His word. He wants us to follow Him to the very nth degree because He is a faithful God this morning. I don't know how this hits you. I don't know how you feel about this. But I'm not so sure that God wants to say, you know what, every leap year, I'm going to do some different and new things in the church and more powerful than I did the last 4 years. And I'm saying to you, erase that off the whiteboard. God doesn't work on leap year. God doesn't work that way. The first and second Sundays of every month. He doesn't work that way. God follows the very dictates of His word into a generation that is broken and needs His powerful touch. I really believe that. And I'm convinced this morning that you and I have to think this. Think about Jesus. Just with me, just for a few minutes. Think about the idea of being normal or abnormal. You know, it's interesting because at night, Jesus met a man by the name of Nicodemus. How many know that? You've read it in Scripture. And you've read that and you see it. And what did Nicodemus do? Nicodemus sat down and he began to talk to Jesus and he says, Master, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher sent from God. But let's talk about what Jesus thinks. Jesus said this. He didn't even stop there. He didn't address being a teacher. He didn't address being a rabbi. Or he didn't address any of that. Jesus looked back at Nicodemus, and he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. So what am I saying? I'm saying this morning that Jesus wanted to talk about kingdom principles. He wanted to talk about salvation, how a man can be born again. He wasn't interested in talking about what Nicodemus wanted to talk about. He said, I want to talk about things that are normal in my life. You have a lot of things that are normal to you, Nicodemus. I appreciate that. But I have some things that are very normal in my life, and I want you to understand that. You know, when I look at me, I can gauge myself to how things are with others. I can say, look at how that person lives his life. That's got to be normal. Or I can look at somebody else and I can say to them, you know what? Man, they just got it all together. Now, that's a normal way to live. But I'd like to suggest to you that, you know what? You don't really understand what really normalcy really is until you began to look at it through the lens of Jesus and His Word. Then you begin to understand. A widow who had been in the town of Nain, now the Bible says the entire funeral party was following her, and her son was in the briar, and he had passed away. And coming down the road towards them was Jesus and disciples of his. And the Bible says that the closer Jesus got, he saw something and he called out. You can tell he was from a great distance because he called out to the bride or the procession and those that were leading the casket. I'll say it that way. He called out and he said, "Stop!" It was normal. It was normal to take this procession on, put it to the full burial, and for the little widow of Nain and for all of the people to go back to Nain, and there they would live the next few days, weeks, months, and years, and always remember how they buried the little boy, her son. But something amazing happened, is that on the road, Jesus said, "Stop!" And he came up to the briar. And as he came up and he saw the brokenness of her life and how she was weeping for her son, and I mean, you and I would feel the same. That's normal. Is it not normal? I mean, come on, you can actually get serious with me now. Is that not normal for her to be broken, for the people to be weeping, for the everyone is so broken? And but let me ask you this. When Jesus stopped the procession, and he reached out his hand and he touched the briar and he said to the young man, "Rise." And he rose out of that briar, he rose out of that cart, and he rose up. Is that normal? For you and I this morning, we say, no, that's not normal at all. But in the economy of God, is that normal? I'm trying to stun you, because I got to tell you something. We got a long list of things we call normal. We check them off. This is all normal. In fact, we even do it in church. This is normal. And when the pastor's crazy, we erase that one and say, we got to have an audience with him. I'm suggesting this morning that was not normal. I'm suggesting to you, when the sick of the palsy that I just read to you in chapter 5, when Jesus finally stopped everything, and he says, is it easier for me to say your sins are forgiven or to rise up and walk? Neither one of us would say, probably at that point, that a man can say your sins are forgiven and a man can say rise up and walk, because nobody can do that. I'm telling you that in the Lord's economy, that was normal. Rise up and walk. And the Bible says the man rose up. Jesus says, you rise up and go home. Your sins are forgiven. Ooh. And all of a sudden, these guys that are lawyers and Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes, they went nuts. Because that isn't normal. So this morning, I just want to present again to you, what is normal in the church world? A lot of it has to do with what we've built. A lot of it has to do with what we think it. A lot of it has to do with what comes across the podcasts and the airwaves and what people say from Georgia and Texas and New York. And that's normal. But what is it that the Lord says this morning? You know what? When they said to Jesus, several of them, and they had been with sick of palsy, they had been especially with leprosy, and the leper said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can heal me. Jesus picked up on the word, will, and he said, I will. I'm going to use you. And he reached out. If you don't want to ever be used, don't sit on the front row. And he reached out, and Jesus watched. He healed the leper. He healed the leper. Now, I'm telling you something, that isn't normal. And secondly, it isn't normal to touch the leper. You are now defiling the law of Moses. You can't do this, Jesus. And Jesus says, I know. Because my normal is different than yours. And he backed away, and the leper is healed. And they just keep piling and bringing and bringing the villages. They're bringing the people to Jesus. Why? Because they've never seen anything that was normal like that. What they had seen is man's normal. And I got to be careful, because I live here too, and I'm in this church. And I'm your pastor, and I'm probably the number one person that can jumpstart or put it in gear. I'm just telling you something. Oh, how the Lord wants to put in our body and in this house His normal, not so much ours. I think He wants His normal, not so much ours. I believe that. Hallelujah. I believe He wants to be able to say things that you and I sometimes lay and just kind of dream about. We think about. We just think, Lord, could it ever happen here?
Yes, it can.
I'm going to tell you something else that's normal. I don't believe He wants to just take one church, and that's the only church in the whole county and maybe the inland Northwest that can see the power of a living God.
Amen.
I believe He wants His churches. Say churches.
Churches.
That wasn't Spanish. Churches. He wants His churches to be able to say, oh Lord, we never understood what normal was until we got closer to You. Lord, we had no idea. We had no idea as we're on the road from Nain that You could stop the briar and speak the word and that boy could rise. We had no idea.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh. Do you remember sometime probably in the last year or two, I shared this short story with you? Do you remember that? I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, what story, Pastor? I don't have any idea. I did that on purpose. I love this because for years I have known from a distance who Randy Vallamont is. I'm going to share this short story with you again because it's right here. Randy Vallamont is the lead pastor of an Assembly of God church in Griffin, Georgia. Anybody know where Griffin, Georgia is? Let's start over. Anybody know where Georgia is? God was moving amazing in this church. Please hear this story. But we just started school again. And I know what we can do is we're just going to think again how normal we want this year to be. What if God doesn't want this year to be normal in the school system? What I mean is, what if God wants to touch children or young people or high schoolers? You're saying, wait a minute, the parents should have a right to that. What if he touches the parents too?
Yeah. Amen.
Wouldn't that be amazing if he touches us all? Especially the pastors. Well, we need it. I need it. And in this was amazing because three high school seniors, we were at public school, noticed their teacher was in pain. And during her lecture, during a break in her lecture in the class, they approached the teacher and they said to her, "What's wrong?" And she told these three high school boys, she says, "I have a migraine headache." And they asked if they could just lay hands upon her and pray quietly for the Lord to heal her headache. I know what we all should be doing now. Separation, church and state. God can't get in here. You can't do this here. What if God says, I do things that isn't normal? Are you having fun? I am. And during this break, they said to her, they said, "What's wrong?" She says, "I have this amazing, unbelievable migraine headache, and I hurt so bad." And they asked, and they said, "Can we lay hands upon you and pray quietly for the Lord to heal your headache?" She agreed, and the students prayed, and immediately the migraine left. Oh, wow. The migraine left. Is that not incredible? The teacher then went to the teacher's lounge, oh no, and told her colleagues what had happened. Immediately, another teacher stood up and said to all of them, says, "You know what? I have cancer. And if it can happen to you that your migraine is gone, I'd like to ask for those three boys to come back and pray for me. I'll try anything." So the teachers invited the students to come back to the school the next morning, early the next morning. And I love this because I never noticed this when I had shared this before with you. What I never noticed was this part. So the teachers, plural, say plural. The teachers, plural, invited the students to come to school early the next morning so they could lay hands upon this teacher. They began to pray for him. He went to the doctor the next Tuesday for a checkup. The doctor was amazed. That's one of the callings of being a doctor nowadays, is doctors should be amazed because God is in that place. The previous month's tests, he said, they showed spreading cancer. And without even a full round of chemotherapy, he says to the teacher, "You are cancer-free." I don't know about you, but I'm sometimes happy to be in God's house. Let the joy of the Lord be among us. Because God is a faithful God. Do you believe that?
Yes.
He is. I want to take and do it this way. I won't say before I'm closing. I try not to use the closing word too early. But I want to give you three things. And I'd like for you to take these three things, if you will. And I want you to write them on the back of your bulletin or write them somewhere on an old bulletin or commit it to memory or get your wife to remember what I say.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'd like to give you three things that, listen to this, three things that are normal for God. If I had to stop and start thinking about that, tell me, Pastor, what are three things that are normal for God? And you know what? I'd be stuck. It'd be easy to go, well, I don't know. Let me give these three things to you. I'd like to say, first of all, that God himself, not always in a physical sense, But God loves to reveal himself to his people. Oh, you didn't hear me. I can't believe it. God loves to reveal himself to his people.
Amen.
I'd like to say that's normal.
Yes.
That's a normal thing. When you and I come to Christ, do you think God just kind of pulls back and go, well, I'm just not ever going to get close. I'll just see if they can make heaven on their own. Never. Are you kidding me? I think the Lord is so excited, so pleased to be able to touch our lives. He really is. You know what? The Bible says that God reveals his glory and himself to his people. Say glory.
Glory.
And you and I are going, yeah. Where is it? God reveals himself to his people in glory. I'd like to read what the Bible says. It says this. It says that the entire earth is full of his glory. The entire earth is full of his glory. Donna and I have, we have in the front, going out, or out our front window, we have this big hummingbird feeder, and straight across through our house and through the, you can see from both, and out the one of the windows in the kitchen, we have another hummingbird feeder. And this is amazing, because sometimes I can sit there or stand there, and I'm just kind of going like this. And I'm watching the hummers beat up on the bees. And then I'm watching the bees beat up on the hummers, and I'm thinking, this is incredible. What does my heart say about that? I'm saying what the scripture says, that the entire earth is full. Say full.
Full.
What does full mean? It means non-empty.
Right.
Of his glory.
Amen.
Man alive. That's King James for wow. Hallelujah. God reveals himself in his glory. God also reveals himself to his people. You know what? I realize that none of us was in the garden. And I realize that we can only speculate how it must have felt and looked for Adam and Eve. But in the cool of the night, God would come down. I believe that was Jesus literally walking in the midst as the second person of the Godhead. And there he would come and he would find himself there and he would speak to Adam and Eve and talk to them and tell me again, what did you name this animal? What did you name this creature? And I think there was such a joy between Adam, Eve, and the Lord, who was his creator. He was their creator. And I'm just going to tell you something, what I think this morning. I don't think God is treating us today like he's our creator necessarily, just coming down and asking us to name all the animals out in our, you know, behind our house and all the animals here and there. But I'll tell you what I do think. I think he loves to reveal himself as our creator, that he's made us. And it's not we ourselves that have done this. Do you believe that? I believe that when you think, and I just go down this list, think about it. The Bible says that the Lord appeared to Abraham, and he said to Abraham, he said, I want you to rise up out of Mesopotamia, and I want you to go to the land that I lead you to, which was Canaan. The Bible says that he appeared to Abram. How do you think he appeared to Abraham? That's for you to figure out. The Bible says that God appeared to Moses in a bush. And appeared to Moses again on Sinai. Isaiah said, I have seen the Lord high and lifted up. And his train filled the entire place. He says, I saw this with my own eyes. And I said to myself, oh, woe is me. I am undone. Because I have seen the Lord. Please don't let me get lost here with you. Because some of you right now have already checked out and say, none of this is real for me. God can't begin to show himself or reveal himself to me. Who told you that? It is the work of darkness to tell you that. I believe it. I believe it with all my heart. God wants to reveal himself to us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He revealed himself to Solomon in a dream. He revealed himself to Stephen as Stephen is being stoned literally. Somehow, I have no idea how Stephen could do this. He looks up and all of a sudden he sees the heavens roll back. I don't think you and I have to be stoned for this, but he sees the heavens roll back and he saw Jesus at the right hand of his Father. Here's what I'm telling you. I believe it's normal for God to want to reveal himself to us. Would you take the Bible that's on your lap and hold it up like this? He wants to reveal himself to us. He does it in the Word.
That's true.
Now do this. Put your Bible down and just, I know this sounds silly, but do this. He wants to reveal himself in your closets.
That's right.
To you. Listen, this whole church can't get in your prayer closet. So it's probably going to be just you and Jesus in that closet. But he wants to reveal himself to you. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? Think about this. He appears in glory. He appears in the miraculous. He appears in angels. He appears in his nature. He appears in quakes and thunder and tsunamis, because there's nothing on this planet that has that kind of power but him. He appears by a still, small voice. And as Elijah is in that cave, this little voice finally speaks to him. Elijah! Oh, wait, it was a little voice saying it real soft. Elijah, what are you doing here? There's a still, small voice. I'd like to also say, I'll come back to my voice now. What are you doing here, Elijah? This cave was on Sinai. And he says, you just took care of over 400 prophets of Baal. But when one woman says she's going to kill you, you take off and we walked 40 days to this cave. What are you doing? Don't you think that voice made a pretty profound statement to him? If Elijah had to say anything, he'd probably say, yep. God finally spoke to me and got my senses back. Amen. How did he do it? I don't think the Lord stood in his presence at that moment, but I think that the voice of God came. Amen. Are you with me? Are you doing okay?
Yep.
Think about this. I love these ideas that I'm presenting to you again. I just want to tell you that Jesus, I think, does sometimes just appear to people. I don't know, you might think it never happens, but I have discovered in about the last 10, maybe 15 years, I cannot tell you how many times I've heard it or I've read about it, how that those that are in the Middle East and those that are deep into, what am I trying to say? How do I have a blackout right here? Those that are into, Oh, what's that religion in the Middle East?
Islam.
How did you all know that? I can't tell you how many times I have heard stories of a family in their house and they go to bed in Islam. And in the middle of the night, the wife or the mother gets up and Jesus walks right through the wall into their living room. And they say, we know who he was because we saw his hands with nail prints. We know who he was because we know his love. And he said, I care for you. He never condemned me. He said, I love you. And you know, Islam, literally across the world, I don't know what they're doing with this literally in their synagogues, but they're trying, not synagogues, but in their temples. They're doing as much as they can to tell people, man, if you see this, this is just crazy. Don't believe a word of it. But what would you do at 2 a.m. or 4 a.m. if Jesus comes in and says, I love you, shows his hands, and shows I died for you?
Amen.
Boy, we live in an amazing day. And I'm going to tell you again, I want you to hear me when I tell you this. There's three things that are normal for God. And one of them is to reveal himself to this generation that he is truly God. Wow. Praise God. Let me tell you the second thing. As you're turning to the second thing, I want you to go with me to, if you will, to 1 Samuel chapter 5. Because I just need to read a little bit in 1 Samuel 5. This is important. 1 Samuel chapter 5. Every now and then I think about this verse. And I have to snicker because this is amazing. Chapter 5, 1 Samuel 5. It says in verse 1, and the Philistines took the ark of God. The audacity of the Philistines to take the ark of God? Are you kidding me? And brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. Verse 2, 5-2. It says, when the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon, their god. And they set the ark of God next to Dagon. Say Dagon with me in a deeper voice of strength and power. Say, Dagon. They set the ark of God next to Dagon. They knew it was a done deal because their God's going to take care of this thing. Verse 3. And when they of Ashdod arose early in the morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of God. Oh, that's part of what makes me snicker at this whole thing. I mean, these guys come running in. Can you see it? The priests and probably some of the political civic leaders. And they run in because they're wanting to see what Dagon did, you know, duking it out during the night. And they come in and all of a sudden, Dagon, their god, from the bust, probably sitting on a pedestal, is laying on the ground, not over there against the wall, but facing the Ark of the Covenant. Doesn't that strike you as funny? I mean, honestly, doesn't it? I take too much for granted. Dagon, verse 3, was fallen upon the face of the earth before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. Maybe Dagon didn't understand what they want, so let's try this again. Verse 4. And when they rose early in the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands are cut off upon the threshold. Only that stump of rock, whatever, is left. Therefore, neither the priests of Dagon nor any that come into Dagon's house tread upon the threshold of Dagon and Ashdod unto this day. Verse 6, and by the hand of the Lord it was heavy upon the Ashdodites and destroyed many of them. And God smote them with emerods, meaning hemorrhoids, even Ashdod and many of the coasts thereof. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, I'm in verse 7, the ark of the Lord of Israel shall not abide with us. Tell me why. Tell me why. It's because it is a normal, number two, it is a normal thing for God to fight and to conquer his enemies. Amen. I'm telling you this. Number two, you need to know what is normal. It is normal for God to rise up and to be powerful. There is no God that can stand before our God. He is a living God this morning. And it says it again in verse 7. It says, the ark of the Lord of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon, our God. I just know this. I know how human I am, and I know how frail I can be. But I do know this, that when he tells me he'll never leave me nor forsake me, it doesn't matter if I'm in a battle or walking to war. My God is with me. Amen. And church, you have to believe that it is a normal thing for God to conquer his enemies. Amen. It is a normal thing. It is normal for God to conquer. If there is no victory, then God is not being normal. Hear me. If there is not victory in your life this morning, then God is not being normal, because he is normal by conquering the enemies that come against him or his people. You believe that?
Yes.
Do you want God to act normal? Then you have to go forth and begin to believe God. You have to pick up the sword of the Spirit. You have to walk in the glory of your God. You have to be valiant in fight and not be afraid of the enemy that now approaches you.
Yes.
Listen to this. Listen to this. The scripture. The Bible says that he has conquered death. hell, and the grave, and the keys of all death, hell, and the grave. Listen, John 16:33, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Why? Because it is a normal thing for me to overcome the world. Therefore, you're mine, you will overcome the world the same.
Amen.
Listen to this, Luke 10, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Luke 10:19. Oh, that's all just New Testament, Pastor. Let's go to some Old Testament. Can you give me anything in the Old Testament? Really? Okay, how about this? Exodus 14:14. The Lord shall fight for you. Ephesians 1, back to the New Testament. What is the exceeding greatness of his power? It flows to us who believe.
That's right. That's right.
Amen? So I just want to tell you again, it is a normal thing for God to conquer his enemies. Please look this way. It is not normal for God to lose to the enemies. To lose to all enemies. It isn't a normal thing. I just want to say, and I have fought in my personal life, and so have you. But I want to remind you this. If sickness is a disease is an enemy, it is normal for the Lord to conquer that enemy. If you have a bondage, if you have something that has taken control of your life, if it's life controlling, it is normal for God to conquer for you. If there's things in your mind mentally that you cannot conquer, it is normal for God to conquer those things. If you have a neighbor in your backyard and he's throwing things at your windows all the time, I don't know what to say about that. It is normal for God to conquer them. Do you know how? And they shall know you are my disciples if you have love one for the other. And all of a sudden, it is the Lord that will conquer for you. So I'm at the I will close part. I'd like to just tell you this simply. It's very quick. The third thing is this. I believe that it is normal for God to sanctify his name. Say, sanctify his name. What that means is it is normal for God to tell the entire world, to tell this city, to tell this church, to tell you that his name is above all. It is normal for his name to be above all.
Amen.
There is no name under heaven that has been given among men that a man can be saved, can live, and to have any strength but in the name of Jesus alone.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Elijah, honestly, he said, you know what? We're going to build these altars at evening. We're going to find out. We're going to find out really whose name is really the name to follow in this nation. I'm going to call on the name of the Lord, Jehovah. You call on Baal and whoever else you want to call on. And the entire day went by, and those priests called upon their name, the name of their god, some kind of a Baal or whatever, Ashtoreth. Finally, he walks out and he says, time's up. Put water over all of these things. Drench it in water. Now we're going to find out who answers by fire. The Bible says, I love to say it this way because it's true, but go to your Bible in King James and you'll discover that he prayed a 67 word prayer, and fire fell from heaven. And it consumed the sacrifice, lapped up the water. It was gone. And the people of Israel said, it is the Lord.
Right.
That's the name we will serve. God has sanctified, he has set his name aside. His name is the name that's normal, none of these other false gods.
Amen.
And the entire nation of Israel humbled before their God. Because his name is powerful.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Would you close your Bibles with me? Praise God. I believe that the Lord doesn't want us to pollute his name with other gods and deities. He wants us to remember that he is the Lord. He wants you to remember, literally, his name is Savior. It is righteous. His name is healer. His name is deliverer. His name is friend. His name is conqueror.
This is maybe could be a possibly an offensive statement. But if you want God to be normal, then you and I, we have to start living normal.
Amen.
And that doesn't mean living normal as the world does and other church people will. If you want God to be normal and to show himself biblically, that my normal is so different than yours.
Yeah. That's right.
And this is the only one you really need.
Amen.
Yeah. You're going to have to start living normal, brand new, and different. Because that's where God works. Amen?
Amen.
Close your head. Wait a minute. Close your eyes. Bow your head with me, please. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, I bless you this morning. I do. I honor you. I thank you for the church. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that, Lord, it is normal for you to appear to us. It is normal for you to be victorious in all battle. It is normal for you to set your name apart. And there is no other name under heaven that can challenge the name of Jesus. So, Lord, thank you for this. May we apply it in our homes. May we apply it in our lives. May we apply it in this our church. May it be applied every day in our walk. Lord, we love you. We love you. Father, thank you for these promises. In Jesus' name we pray. I'd like to tell you something that's normal in our house. It's not you don't